Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Twas the night before Christmas.
Blog Talk Radio.
Twas the night before Christmas, by Clement Clark Moore. Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap, when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now, Dasher, now, Dancer, now, Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke had encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Hello, everybody, and happy Christmas Eve. Hi, Laurent. I love that. I love that recording. I love that poem.
Well, thank you. It's better than I remember it being, so yeah, I was pleased.
It's just a wonderful thing. As a child, I remember I loved that poem. As a teenager, I still love that poem. I guess that's because I love it. I believe in Santa Claus. I do.
Well, Santa Claus is in the room right now saying Merry Christmas to all. Merry Christmas, Thomas.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got to tell you, you can't see the belly, but I'm getting pretty close to carrying it off perfectly.
Oh, see that? I don't know.
Be careful. I don't want your head to get too big either.
It'll never get as big as my belly.
That's probably a good thing.
I want to take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone. No matter what you celebrate, just enjoy it. Embrace it. The week, the month, whatever it is. We all have what we lean into and what we enjoy and what we believe. And I'm not trying to take anything, away from anyone else. This is just my thing. So,
all right, Mrs. Claus.
Miss who? Mrs. Claus?
Mrs. Claus.
Oh, Mrs. Boss. Oh, my God. I've been called Boss lately.
B-L-A-U-S, Claus.
Oh,
Claus.
Why I've been called worse? I wish I was Mrs. Claus because I love Santa. I do love Santa. But I have a feeling I'd be in trouble somehow. Story of my life.
You'd probably be accused of keeping too many elves. Making them work too hard.
Merry Christmas to you, Thomas.
Oh,
absolutely.
Thank you much.
Absolutely. I do want to say to everyone, this is really my favorite contest kind of throughout the year, is the one to Dear Santa, Letters to Santa. Because there's so many heartwarming poems that can be generated through that. And I've seen so many through the years. There's some beautiful work out there. It's not... And I'm going to say this too, because I have to kind of like borrow Thomas's soapbox from him. And it's not that I want to be on one, but so many people go, "Well, Santa Claus, this is about the birth of Christ." I get it. I know what that is. I think that Santa Claus is the spirit of giving. I understand the Jesus aspect of Christmas, and I don't ever want anyone to think I'm replacing that with Santa Claus. That's all. I just really need to say that because I've had people, say to me, No. This is all about the concept of Santa Claus, the spirit of giving, that heartfelt giving. It's not about the birth of Christ. Santa Claus has nothing to do with that. That is ultimately, the reason for the season. And I don't ever want to try and take away from that. But I think the picture on the topic board kind of says it all. Anyway, I love everybody and just had to say that. Some people get a little, strange about that. They think, Santa Claus. No, I don't want to replace Jesus Christ with Santa Claus. Don't want to do it. Anyway, that's it for me. So you guys up for some poetry tonight? Oh, yeah. I think we're going to have a good night. Poetry, you remember that stuff? Marty Dance. Yeah, we got a lot of good rights on the board. I can't wait. I cannot wait. So I think we can go ahead and start this party off. LeRon, you didn't have to read. Well, you didn't technically have to read the first poem. I'll let you read this one out loud, and then Thomas, I'll be heading your way. So here we go. Okay, Laurent, by Sam Holiday.
All right. This is called The Poem for Christmas Eve. Come now, children, gather near. You know that it's the time of year when guiding stars adorn the sky and reindeer are allowed to fly. The recent harvest fills your tummy with nuts and sweets and all things yummy. Now is the best time to remember if you've been good outside December. For Santa and his little band have kept his tally close to hand. All those who haven't been too nice soon will pay a heavy price. Don't be dismayed. I don't mean you. Your bouts of mischief have been few, so you can still dream on of toys and treats and other Christmas joys. Be thankful you're inside and warm, this chilly night when snowflakes swarm, daydreaming of your heart's desire while safe before the cheery fire. Let's put the milk and cookies out, help assure Santa's things set out, and hang the stockings in a row on mantel above embers glow. So settle down on this cold night beside the Yule tree's festive light. Santa won't come till you're sleeping. I see your eyelids downward creeping. It's time we folk head off to bed, get tucked beneath a cozy spread. And as I close the bedroom door, remember what Christmas is for. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Great read. That was sound.
Actually, a damn good poem. It's put right in the lexicon of good Christmas poems. It is long enough to be interestingly descriptive. It retells the story of Santa in a sweet way. His rhyme and his rhythm are really spot on. I find nothing I dislike about this poem at all. It's a perfect little Christmas poem. Thomas, how did you like it?
I think it just captures the Christmas spirit in a succinct and delightful fashion.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. Succinct is a good word. And Jean, how about you? Are you going to be succinct or verbose?
Oh, I loved this poem. I really did. I loved it from top to bottom. I love the imagery. I love the story. I love the rhythm. I love the whole thing. It was just really, really well done. I mean, really, I can't find a bad thing about it. I'm listening. And I don't even see it in my contest. I know it had to be in my contest. I'm not crazy. Well, I am crazy, but don't tell anybody. But that was really, 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 really an awesome job. And I enjoyed it very much. And just so you know, I brought Pam on while you were reading. So, hi, Pam. Did you bring us
hi,
all a cup of tea?
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Tom. Good to hear you all.
Good evening.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Did you bring us all a cup of tea, Pam?
Yes, and whatever else you're requesting. It's Christmas Eve magic.
Wow.
I can pull drinks out of the air.
Careful around here. That could get dangerous, you know. Did you hear the poem by Stan?
Yes, I did. I have to agree. It's a wonderful Christmas poem. Great rhyme and flow. Wonderful all the way through. It's got that certain kind of magic to it that can make it an instant classic. But I really especially like where it rolls into, because Santa and his little band has kept his tally close to hand. All those who haven't been too nice soon will pay a heavy price. And then I also really like the statement of the stretcher, let's put the milk and cookies out. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Wow, that is so crazy. Okay, I'm losing my mind, but it's okay. Awesome comment, Pam. Thank you so much. Wow, it's not in my contest. I don't know where I got it from, but I found it somewhere.
Okay.
Well, no, but I was, never mind. I was looking for a button, and I didn't have it. That's why I did that. That's right.
The gift and the Christmas spirit. What can you say?
I know. I hear you. I definitely hear you. Okay. Thomas, I'm going to put one up for you. Here we go. This one is by Daniel Buhin.
Hey, you want me to read it?
Yes, sir. Read.
Okay. Dear Santa, most noble elf of legend, if I can have but one present, this year it would be this. Could you fly up in the sky as far as heaven and bring back my brother so dear? Just for one night, before he is called back into heaven. I miss him much. He was my best friend, whom I could rely on. It is my heart that cries, but it hears no reply. Can he hear from the other realm? Please, Santa, be so kind to at least send him my message that I miss him. My thoughts are with him almost every day, and I know he has called home to suffer no more. But we miss him on this earth. And poem.
Nice job, Tom. Job. Yeah, that's yeah.
Wow, nice response. And such a sad AM. I lost my brother this year to cancer and my dad to diabetic stroke. That's hard. Yeah. Hard enough losing one. When you lose two, what did that cost you? Wow. And, you know, he really gives us wish in very simple form. But it's so heartfelt and emotional. Yeah. He's not trying to do anything but speak from his heart. I think he succeeded quite well. Pam, can I get your reaction, please?
Oh, absolutely. This just hits really hard. It's he went so personal with this, and the ability to go this personal is a beautiful thing. And he really just, his heart hangs out on the line. It is such a difficult thing to lose loved ones, but especially a father and a brother in the same year. My condolences, my heart really goes out to him. And I really like this part. It is my heart that cries, but it hears no reply. Can you hear from the other realm? Please, Santa, be so kind. At least send him my message that I miss him. It's such a simple request, and yet it means so much. And just beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
Yeah. We never know how much the love counts until it isn't there to share. And the simplicity and honesty in this also represents a certain bravery and strength. And I think that in part is what touches us so deeply, because it takes a lot of strength to be plain, honest, and vulnerable in a very intimate fashion. And this definitely is. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Thomas. And Jean, to you.
I think this was a wonderful piece. Very heartfelt. And yeah, easy, as you said, to lose one, let alone two people in one year. One being your brother. That's a really, really hard pill to swallow. So, Jean, with us and being so open with us and allowing us to read the piece with us. Wonderful job. And thank you so much for having the time. Here we go. Pam, I have one for you.
Okie dokie. All right. This is A Christmas Wish by Millie Hayward, and it goes like this. Dear Santa, my life is dark. I cannot see. What kind of life is left for me? So Santa, please, could you bring a single gift of just one thing? For I would wish one special friend, just one on whom I could depend. This friend I need, oh Santa Claus, has waggy tail and four small paws, who's fully trained, needing a home. He'd live with me to help me roam. When outside, he'd walk with me and be my eyes so I could see. A guide dog would be my bright light, would lend to me a brand new sight. He'd charge the way He changed the way I view my world. A better life would be unfurled. This gift would change my life for good, much better than any other could. So Santa, please do hear my plea and make this wish come true for me. End poem.
Great job, Pam. Great job.
That was really well read. Thank you, Pam. Thomas, could you start us off, please?
Oh, yeah. How much more do you want to bang on my heart and make it bleed? I have read and been utterly fascinated by the gift of sight, mobility, and freedom that seeing eye dogs can give someone. And this is particularly lovely. It does it really well in the way it asks. And a nice reminder to all of us that there are those for whom the simplest gifts can be so incredibly massive, beautifully said. I really like this.
I couldn't agree with you more. A guide dog would be my bright light, would lend to me a brand new sight. He'd change the way I view my world. A better life would be unfurled. You know, the loss of sight is so devastating. I couldn't conceive of it, honestly. And this is a brilliant little piece. Thank you so much, Millie. And Pam, please.
I think this is absolutely wonderful. I like the nice meter it's written in. I like that it reminds us that, you know, there are people out there whose life and quality of life depends on animals, and how much how in such an important part a guide dog or a service dog can be to a person. You know, I just absolutely think it's a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean?
That's a lot of truth there, Pam. Service dog can do so much and mean so much to someone. I thought this was a wonderful poem when I read it earlier. I think that it's such a wonderful request, wish, dream, however you want to put it. I hope that it comes true for her, that she gets a service dog. I think everybody who needs one should have one. I don't understand if it's much and dogs need to be trained and all that stuff, but hopefully it won't take forever for her and she'll have her opportunity. God bless you, Millie. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Great entry. Absolutely. Okay. Now, hey, Dex. Let me peek at the phone. No Dex. Now, Laurent, I have another one for you to read, if you don't mind.
No.
There we go. This one's by Liquid Mind Forever.
All right. And it's called Unwrap Our Hearts. Dear Santa Claus, as I pause for silence, somber, to recount the gifts received, before you leave, let me relieve your burden as you prepare, conceive, the homeless folk, the least of beasts, who live upon the streets. Cold feet, no shoes or socks, nothing to hawk, await the ticking clock. Pockets empty, hearts full of memories of years, with hope and family. But in our hustle bustle comes forgotten ways of yore. Some would feed and clothe the poor with love, not bought or sold, not pushed or shoved. Please mend and send me hearts, all new and full. No wars, no hunger. Burnish this new rule. Keep nothing more than what I need. My homeless cry and children bleed. End poem. Actually, I wonder if those last two lines are part of the poem. Love and Grandma's gingerbread cookies, me and cinnamon tea. Perhaps, I don't know. Thomas, please.
Yeah. It's, you know, in some ways I wish America had a Boxing Day. It'd do us good. Pick out things and give them to someone you know would need them. Would do us all a lot of good. I was listening to a group that just started recently by a military mom to make sure that the Afghan refugees get the stuff they need to set up the homes they're trying to set up. The little bit of pieces of furniture, a little this, a little that. We've all got spares. And I was just thinking about what we have in our house that I could give, and this just reminds me of, you know, how important that is, you know. Because this is nothing more than the season when we find a way to gift others with happiness.
Thank you, Thomas. And Pam, please.
Yeah, this is going to be absolutely an excellent night of heartfelt poetry. I like that she wrote this in really nice rhyming couplets. And just a great way to start the poem is a strong title, Unwrap Our Hearts. So it's all about, you know, like what is potentially in our hearts if only we'd let it out. I really like Empty Hearts Full of Memories. Empty hearts full of memories of years with hope and family, but in our hustle bustle comes forgotten ways of yours. Some, you know, the idea that we forget what, you know, Christmas was once meant to be, you know, or what it is still meant to be, that connection of love and humanity. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, this piece really epitomizes the 'tis better to give than to receive mentality. Asking for nothing more than what I need, offering everything else to the homeless and the children. It's passionate in a quiet way. There's no real anger here. It's more of a prayer. Beautifully done. And Jean? Jean, if you please.
What? You want me to unmute?
Oh. Yes, yes. That's why I said if you please.
I'm a little naked when I unmute. Come off me. Okay, guys. I'll try not to mute, but I can't type quietly. Deborah, I think that, you know, as I said when you wrote this for us long ago, this is a wonderful piece, very well written. The thoughts throughout are fabulous. They really did hit the notes of what I was thinking for that year, and this year, and every year, to bring out the things that really need to be thought about, you know, by everyone. Because, you know,
you
can't say, yeah.
You can mute. When I call on you, I'll simply remind you to unmute.
Not a big deal. Can I finish commenting?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Now I don't even remember what I was going to say. Okay. Anyway, Deborah, I thought it was great, and thank you so much for allowing us to read it again. Okay.
Next call.
Okay. Here is the next. Welcome back, Pam. And this one is by Lal. It's called My Christmas Wish. And I have an audio to go with that. So let me play that.
My Christmas Wish, a poem by Lal. At 8 years old, I wrote a note, then gave it to my mom. I told her not to open it and just to send it on. To my surprise, tears filled her eyes, said she would do her best, reminding me that Santa Claus some days would need to rest. I wasn't fazed, so well behaved, he'd surely want to please, but just in case, before bedtime, I'd get down on my knees. Dear Jesus, on your special day, I promise to be good. Please have a word with your dear friend, and ask him if he could send lots of love around the world, so everyone will see the beauty right in front of them, in friends and family. I wished for Dad to come back home, but love us more this time, and in return I'd make my bed and never once would whine. I'd be the kind of little girl, though seen but never heard, and only speak when Daddy spoke, intent on every word. But Daddy never did return. I don't think he believed in miracles and Santa Claus and innocent reprieve. As Mama was a great concern, I asked for magic glue. Please, Santa, would you intervene and make her good as new? I heard her tell my Auntie Jane she has a broken heart and cries herself to sleep at night, afraid she'll fall apart. Soon Mama had the perfect heart, where Santa knew to store all the love a child could need and never wish for more. End poem. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Well, Merry from Christmas. The image, the heartfelt words inside, this is a piece that's going to move you, even if you don't want to be moved. A little girl like that on her knees praying to God to reunite her parents, it's a powerful hook. Your heart really goes out to her because you know exactly what she's going through. Or at least you can imagine it. I like the magic glue a great deal. And as far as the writing is concerned, it's first class. And the rhyming is very, very good on this. Another perfect little Christmas poem, tugging at the heart, the way a good Christmas poem. And Pam, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I like that it's a letter from the idea from the perspective of a child who sees the grown-ups around her falling apart, who sees the broken relationship, who sees the broken heart, and unselfishly asks, you know, that everyone's heart be healed, that everybody find that Christmas peace, that Christmas joy. Wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Tom, please.
He hits all the right notes, from having it be from a young child who is too young to really understand all that's going on around her, but understands enough to know how deeply the ones she loves are hurt and missed.
Mm-hmm.
I love the prayer she has with the Dear Jesus, on your special day, I promise to be good. I just thought that was sharp and succinct and stunning in the way it was done. And it's the that prayer is what the whole poem rotates around. The use mm-hmm. of the magic glue was perfect. Her voice couldn't have been any better for reading a piece like this. I just was impressed from start to finish. Beautiful work.
Can't disagree with you, Tom. Can't disagree. And Jean, please.
This is really one of my all-time favorites that we've had in the contest. And I'm right there with you, Thomas. I love the prayer in the center, and I thought that was so touching when we first heard this. And I'm with you. That line, as Mama was a great concern, I asked for magic glue. Please, Santa, would you intervene and make her good as new? It just tore me up. It really did. And I really love it. And I think that Lyle did an excellent job with this. And that's what it's all about. That's really, the innocence of it, I think that it's a great letter to Santa. I do. And she didn't lose the concept. So awesome work, Lyle. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Yes. I guess I have to find a poem, huh? Yes. This is going to be for you.
Under the tree. A little poem for you.
There you go. This one is for you, Thomas, to read, if you don't mind. And
I'm ready. Okay. This is a special Christmas wish by T. Perry, 898. Let me ask of you, dear Santa, for but tiny crumbs of bliss. Give of joy to all those lacking, tender love where none exists. Seek to bless the winning smiles on faces of the young. From the gift of understanding, songs of happiness are sung. Kindly tend my aging father, offer peace, and let him sleep. He will suffer no more sadness, and no longer shall he weep. I would ask the gift of friendship to my special son-in-law, who lost the precious soulmate whom he worshipped and adored. For the misplaced, lost, or lonely, and each tearful, broken heart, give a happy, bright tomorrow. Let the clouds of sadness part. Spread the joy of giving. Hate shall sink without a trace. Let the blessings of forgiveness shine from everybody's face. Last of all, a tiny favor. Grant my special Christmas wish for my lovely older daughter. Let me tend a special kiss. All the stars would hide their faces as the angels softly sigh, and a grieving dad would get his chance to wave one last goodbye.
Great read, Thomas. Great read. Laurent, are you with
that
us?
That was a great read. And Thomas, could you read the AN, please?
Words of love and peace at Christmas time. The last sentence was a complete choker and had me weeping tears of sadness. Thankfully, my lovely soulmate was standing near at hand, ready with a warm and loving cup.
Yeah, I had the distinct pleasure of reading this poem last year, and it did bring tears to my eyes. What a beautiful piece. Very moving.
Absolutely.
I mean, he lost his father. His son-in-law lost his betrothed. He lost his daughter. Christmas is such a time of loss. But I guess I was discussing it earlier with Gene. You can take a loss at Christmas and call it blessed somehow, because the loved one was taken at such a time. And I assume it can be turned into something good. No matter how bad you may feel, it certainly epitomizes that. It's a great piece. And Tom, I know you read it, but could you start us off, please?
Oh, yeah. It caught me kind of by surprise. But that opening line, let me ask of you, dear Santa, for but tiny crumbs of bliss, and give of joy to all those lacking, tender love where none exists. It's such a beautiful beginning. It speaks of a certain graciousness, a certain sense of wonder that should be there for all of us to partake in. And then when I became aware of the litany of laws, it really hit pretty swift and pretty hard. I'll admit at 71, I'm starting to lose friends, and I always jokingly say, half jokingly, that I live with a lot of ghosts now, because I'll see something and think, oh, wouldn't so-and-so really love to see that, and suddenly remember that so-and-so ain't around anymore. And he catches a whole lot of this in the sense of just how much the wonder and the joy of having the opportunity to love someone and love them dearly and strongly doesn't stop with their passing. And that last line is just a stunner. Enough said.
Yeah.
Nice comment, my friend. Nice comment. Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was just beautiful. It's powerful and raw. I just really like how he wrote this with wonderful rhyme and flow, and the way so much of the poem, the entire poem practically is about what he wants for other people. And then just that one special Christmas wish for himself that really just pulls at the heartstring and he brings tears to the eyes. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, please.
Well, I have to say that Pete Perry broke my heart through so many of these lines in this poem. I was definitely touched. I was moved. I was teared up quite a bit. And I thought that it was just beautifully, beautifully done. And I want to thank him for allowing us to read this again, because I thought it was just a fabulous write and well worth the read, for sure. So, excellent, excellent job. And great read, Thomas. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Pam, I have this next one up for you, my friend.
All right. And this is My Gift List by Seaglass, and it goes like this. Dear Santa, I wanted to ask for the gift of being with my family and grandchildren this Christmas. They live in Kitsap, Washington. I missed the birth of my grandson, Samwise, last January when I got sick with COVID and repatriated home to England by my travel insurers. Sam is nearly 1 year old, and I've not met him. So much has happened this year, and it doesn't matter now. My grandchildren have warmth, food, medicine, clean water, love, and security. Here in Britain, 1.2 million children don't eat and live in buildings without light or heat, and it is the same in the USA and all over the world. Families are mourning the loss of loved ones, and many more are isolated and lonely. For millions of people, Christmas will be cold this year, regardless of climate, and no amount of plastic tinsel and rah-rah will alter this. If fancy words and rhyming lines would make things better, I'd not pretty the dark future many are facing, unless there's change of heart and mind in all of us. My gift list has changed. The gift I ask for are these. 1, for the sick and hungry and disposed, the gift of voice, as well as food and shelter. 2, for the rich, the gift of ears to hear and a conscience to act. 3, for the power hungry, the memory of the good things they wanted to do before they abused their power. 4, for earth's creatures, the gift of sanctuary and respite from cruelty. 5, for the good people of the world, world's charities, volunteers, doctors, care workers, and nurses, emergency service, our soldiers of peace, the gift of recognition, respect, and the right of safety when they are rescuing us. For us ordinary folk, the gifts of patience, compassion, and generosity for our neighbors and community. For myself, the gift of ability to change people's minds with my pen. May peace, love, and God's blessings be with you, Santa. Seaglass. End poem.
Nice job, Pam. Great read.
That was a great read, Pam. Thank you so much. You know, it's funny, as a nation, as nations, our wants. We are so capable of war and hatred, and yet we are also so capable of understanding what other people need. And this poem is certainly an example of that, to bring the lowly and the homeless up, to ask the rich to listen and act as they can. And all of us need to certainly do more than pay lip service to the dispossessed at Christmas time and other holidays too. I know we do our best. Nothing seems to work for any length of time. Truly, it is the kindness of individuals who most times end up making the difference. A powerful piece by Steve Pass. She apologizes for writing it as a letter. That's exactly what Jean wanted. So, this is a great piece, a great piece. Thomas, if I could get your response, please.
Yeah, you know, this piece just reminds me of how much or how many people don't understand that the difference between you and the homeless is a real thin thread. I know I lived in my car for 5 months. My mother died and I just couldn't deal. So I police ran out from where I was living and I just moved into my car because it was easier trying to talk or argue or convince somebody else of something. And that's where I stayed until finally some friends rescued me. He's right. You know, it's like you just have to keep reaching out because you never know the difference you're going to make. And in your reaching, you will definitely make a difference many times without even knowing that you're doing it. So it's really a sharp little piece that you put together here.
Thank you, Thomas. And Pam, please.
This is just absolutely wonderful. I like that she has this sense of honesty in it and that first starts out with what she was going to ask for. And it certainly wouldn't be wrong to ask for an opportunity to see a brand new grandson and grandchildren. You know, that would be a wonderful thing that, you know, any grandmother would want. But I think, you know, that when she switches around and says, you know what, I've changed my mind. These are the gifts that I want. And she unselfishly, you know, without hesitation, asks for, you know, the world to be made a better place because people remember the times when they wanted to do good. People show respect and love and really take time to listen and understand each other. So I just think excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Dan. I like that one. And Jean, c'est à vous.
I have to say that I love this piece by Seaglass. You know, she pointed out things that really needed to be thought about and her sense of caring and the directions, because she pointed her wish list for Santa was a wonderful list, to say the least. Things that a lot of people take for granted, they don't think about, they don't realize. And I think that there's a lot to be said in this poem. I wrote it beautifully, and I think that he really did a good job. And I want to thank her for allowing us to read it again this year. It's been awesome. Wonderful work, Sue Glass, and thank you so much. Let me see. Okay, Laurent, I have one up for you.
Okay. This is Santa's Gifts by Chuck 17. Dear Santa, this may seem like an odd Christmas wish, but it's really not just for me. I'd like to see a world where political, religious, and racial ideas are set free. A world where all human beings are delivered out of poverty, where hunger and homelessness is something we never see again, It's a very selfish idea, because it's all just a fantasy. There aren't enough gifts in Santa's bag to make this a reality. End poem.
Nice.
Nice. And very compact. Ends a little bit on a sad note. We just have to get all the Santas in the world together. Do something about it. Pam, please.
Yeah, this is a beautiful brevity. I like the way it gets straight to the point and, you know, it asks us to look past our differences. But it does end on a sad and bitter note. But I think that it makes it all the more stronger because of that idea that it's difficult to feel hope in a world filled with oftentimes so much selfishness. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I think this was a great brevity. I think the request, you know, are definitely wonderful. There are things that are so much needed in this world today. And I think that Chuck definitely, you know, sparked it. I think he did a wonderful job. Yep, absolutely. And thank you, Chuck, for joining us tonight on the show with the poetry in the contest. Great job. Okay. Yeah, I lost the room. Lost my mind first, lost my room second. Good heavens, what is next? Don't ask. Okay. I lost the poem I was going to put up. See how it works? That is terrible. Oh, here it is. Okay, Thomas, I found the poem. Yes, I'm putting it in the right room. That's pretty amazing. Okay.
And who would you like to be?
That's for Thomas. Thomas.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah. Okay, here. So, Santa by Lockdown Lark. Santa, we are taught to pray to someone we can't see, because at the end of the day, they are able to make it be. You have always come through, so in you, I have no doubt. But this problem, I must tell you. Parents say the world is on its way out. Daddy says I shouldn't worry you about the melting ice caps, but surely something you can do. I mean, do you want your reindeer mishaps? And so I write you not just for me, but for you and everyone. Get my present under the tree, and you undo what has been done. I know some things you do, but no time now for making toys. Instead, if you can start to renew, saving the world for girls and boys, no one should go hungry. Please help by getting rid of wars. Ban polluting by the me. And plant trees to soothe earth sore. Daddy says we must give and take. But you, Santa, always give, we know. Can we always have Christmas cake? If we love Earth as we love you so. And Paul.
Nice job, Tom. Nice job. Let's begin with Pam, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a really thoughtful and thought-provoking write on, you know, the whole idea of faith and of realizing that, you know, miracles don't always just happen. Sometimes people have to make them happen. So, you know, that excellent rhyme and flow here. I really like, I know some things you can do, but no time now for making toys. Instead, if you can start to renew saving the world for girls and boys. The really great lines there and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Tom?
Well, I like this for the guy, for the you know, presentation from a young child's point of view, the recognition that things are going bad and that we need to, you know, do something about all this. And I'm sure any kid by fifth grade is well aware of this. And the willingness to give up things, do their share, so that the people who are in charge and in power can make things happen that need to happen. And for all of what some people might cynically call a naivete or a dreaminess, sometimes just simply asking that we stop being idiots and start doing the things we need to do isn't naive at all. It's probably the wisest words we'll ever hear.
You're right. The wisest and sometimes I think the most fruitless. There is in the third stanza just the least little bit of whimsy. Daddy says I shouldn't worry you about the melting ice caps. But surely something you can do. I mean, do you want reindeer mishaps? And just that quiet little line kind of brings out the rest of the poem in starker relief. As he says, and so I write not just for me, but for you and everyone. I like the way he includes Santa in the wish. And again, well written, hearts in the right place. Some very nice poetry tonight. I like this. I'm not that familiar with Lockdown Larks. I think we've seen him once before. Gene, please.
You know, I like this poem, and I like the sentiment in it. I like that, you know, we're asking Santa to make a change in, you know, in the whole picture of it. And, you know, let's be real now. We all know if Santa, as we know and love him, were to put his thoughts together, it could change things, really, now. I mean, so what better person to ask? You know, Santa is multifaceted, to say the least. And that includes a lot of things. So, I think it's pretty clever, actually, and I think that it was well written and done. And I think it was a great voice to it, that it was a child's voice. And, yeah, nice work. Nice work, Lockdown Larks. Absolutely. Okay. Now, I can figure out where I am. Okay. Okay, I'll tell you what, Thomas. I'm going to come down the list. I'll get Laurent to read his piece, and then we'll read your piece, and... I see what I'm believing too. So let me do that. Okay. Here we go. Whenever you're ready. And by the way, we have Dexter on the line too. Hey, Dex, welcome to the board.
Well, hey, Merry Christmas. Go ahead, Laurent.
Hey, Dex, how are you doing? Merry Christmas. All right, this is called Letter from Santa. Letter from Santa. December 24th, 2025. Dear Tommy, you ask interesting questions. Am I human? Am I Santa all year round? Do I sleep? First of all, elves deal with a reindeer scab, not me. I do sleep after a fashion, months at a time. However, I lose my physical form, and I've been known to ghost walk. Sounds crazy, but that's the way the big guys set things up. It takes a while to come back. We latent spirits coalesce slowly. It takes time to rebuild a fat man. Weeks, actually, to achieve complete corporeal cohesion. Time to get the costume correct, down to the black belt with the shiny buckle, which holds the whole Santa image together. It's all about the details. Otherwise, I exist here and there during the year, kind of a suggestion of gauzy unreality, sporting a large white beard. Sometimes I'm visible in your periphery. You think you see something, maybe take a quick look. I'm never there long enough to say so. Beard needs trimming and cleaning on a daily basis. Cheeks require blush and shine. Eye twinkle comes out of my contact lens case. A spirit that needs corrected lenses. Bad joke, you say, but no. I share your physical foibles, unfortunately. But sure enough, I'm Santa Claus, brought to you by the great spirit, my boss, who wishes to remain anonymous. Bless him. Disassembling, reassembling from year to year, it can be a schizophrenic existence, believe you me. I am born of belief, of redemption. Joy and laughter are my middle names. And my belly does shake like jelly when I ho, ho, ho. Tommy, your questions are good ones, especially how do I manage to be everywhere at the same time? Big world, as you say. Call it a trade secret. Good magician never shows you how the trick's done. Otherwise, where's the wonder? Never doubt I'm here. Write as often as you need to. I have a good mailman. Your friend, Santa Claus. Yes, yes, you're on the good list. Although there were moments this past year. End poem.
Great, great job, Laurent. Great read. Yeah, I like this list. I think it's just so clever. Thomas, would you like to start off with Tommy?
This shows a great and deep understanding of the wonders of spiritual existence and how corporeal forms are such a pain to bring into being, and that magic is a wondrous thing, never to be laughed at, and always to be treated with a certain level of awe. Quite well done.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Sam, how about you?
I really enjoyed this. I liked that it was a letter from Santa to a child who's just slightly mischievous, as the ending shows, and extremely curious. This was entertaining all the way through. I like the line about the elves deal with the reindeer scat. Time to get the costume correct, down to the black belt with shiny buckle. I mean, just wonderful detail throughout this whole write. Wonderful humor and very well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Dexter, how about you? You want to comment on this?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic as far as almost giving Santa's schedule or meaning behind it, almost giving it, personifying it or giving that human trait of it being, largely almost due to mental illness and giving it that human side to it. And I just thought that it was a very clever way to look at the fact that basically, Santa's dormant for most of the year, and kind of applying that to different bouts of mental illness when someone is feeling down and they just don't have the energy, I guess, to get the up. But much like Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, what fortunately, I guess, is that the offer of the high is good enough to last us until the next one, you know, and so that it gives it meaning. So I thought it was a fantastic right around.
Thank you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think what I liked about it is the fact that he was answering questions from Tommy, and but he didn't talk down to Tommy. He just spoke straight across, like as if he was speaking to an adult, and you know the answers were all there. And I thought that was kind of part of what I liked the best about it. And he answered all these questions that you know kids do ask throughout the year. So. I don't know. I think it was just nicely done around. I have to say I was kind of partial to it. I thought it was a great take on that. Absolutely. Okay. Thomas, I have your pizza.
Okay. Decorating with the Christmas spirit. Dreams curled and caressed the chimney like smoke as all the joys from the past year collected in the eaves. The promise of snow hung heavy in the air, and we all knew that tomorrow morn it would be here. The tree was set in a stand in the living room, the ornaments brought from the attic to adorn every branch after the lights were woven in and out. We had no doubt that Santa soon would be about. The glass balls from my mother were hung high and low. The ones from our first year of magic brought kisses as we remembered that Christmas years ago. The tin soldier your mother gave us when our son was born was put in front to remind us how proud we are of him. Then came the chains of beads, some new, some old. I can remember telling our son that they grew with each present given in love. He laughed and asked how big would the tree be when he was 30 years old, because all the love would make them 100 miles long. I could hear the stereo playing Christmas carols soft and low. Then we took out the icicles, glass blown, and found the ends of branches for them to swing on. Finally, as the sun settled down and the room lights came on soft and dim, we were ready to light up the tree. I let my son turn them on as we had agreed. Bright are the reflections on all Christmas balls, but not as bright as my son's smile when he told us of the great job we had done, how proud Santa would be when he came and saw all the colorful colors we had hung. I shooed him to bed, told him to sleep well. Tomorrow he would see the Christmas elf, gave him for making his parents happy. Once in bed, we quickly filled the vacancy under the tree, slipped presents for each other we hope the other didn't see. In amongst our children's gifts, surprises are great when love is the reason for them to be. It is a season of blessings, remembering a year's worth of thanks, a time to relax. Let all of love's warmth enter my heart in one big blast. As I turn to go to bed for the night, I say a prayer in this very special light. Lord of my fathers, Lord of mystery and great gifts, teach us to live together, treat each other better, and love like it is Christmas all year. End poem.
Great
job, Thomas.
Great poem, too. Something that jumps out at me immediately is the fact that this is a very happy rite. It's filled with joy and appreciation for the Christmas spirit. And when you're decorating with the Christmas spirit, and that was a great title, by the way, it's an opportunity to interact in something that should bring everyone happiness, even if the family is fighting occasionally. When you're decorating for Christmas, we put certain things away. We don't worry about all the little things that go on the day that may displease us. We set all that aside. We decorate and we remember the Christmas carols from the year before, and we decorate in the way we always have, or perhaps we try something new. And then it's always fun for the kids to turn on the lights, as you let your son do. Very moving last stanza, the prayer in this very special light, the light of decorating. I was quite moved by it, quite touched. Very nice job, my friend.
Thank you.
And Dexter, could you comment, please?
Yeah, you know, I had always reminded me of going over to my grandmother's house, and, you know, you always walk in and you'd see all the decorations up, and, you know, and then I finally lived with my grandma for a stretch and was there for the process of putting all of this up, and you start to get an appreciation for the production that, you know, putting on Christmas is. But it's a lot of work, but at the same time, it didn't really feel like as much work as what it really was because, like I said, kind of going back to your poem, it was kind of within the spirit of love, you know, and it really does bring that out, something about, you know, putting up the decorations and getting ready. I don't know. Like I said, I just related to this poem quite a bit, so well done.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Dexter. And Pam?
I thought this was just a beautiful and joyous poem. I like how it celebrates Christmas and the spirit of Christmas, and has that sense of love and tenderness and a simple celebration in the way that, you know, it's all about just spending time with family and, you know, just taking time to appreciate life and to appreciate the smile of a child. So absolutely very well done, Tom.
Thanks, Pam. Great comment. And Jean, please.
Well, Thomas, I think this is a wonderful write. I agree with everybody. It has a lot of joy. I love how you touched on all those traditions that we all have. You know, no matter what it is, we all have our traditions at Christmas or our holidays that we celebrate. And I think you touched on those very well all the way through. And I'm with Laura. I love that last stanza very much, and I think that kind of, you know, tells a lot, you know, in itself. And I think it was really just an awesome job all the way around. So
thank you very much.
Yes. So, let's see. Pam, you did not bring anything tonight? Would you have something in hiding? Just checking.
Did you say something to me?
I did. I said you didn't bring up, or do you have something hiding in the way?
No.
In that case, I'm going to go straight to Dexter with his piece. And I'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you.
Okay, Dex, whenever you're ready.
This is called Hope for the Holidays. Allowing the bottle to water down the strong shot of nostalgia. No sleighs, no lights, just my adult mind lost in an adolescent winter wonderland. Jingle bell rock being cast through speakers like an ancient stoning. The shame of loneliness sliding down my chimney, with only the courtesy to allow me to bite my own cookie and leave my own milk glass. Heartache squeezing like a salesman's handshake. My words offering my soul the optimism of a new deal. All I want for Christmas is the strength to make next year a better one. End poem.
Wow.
Nice.
This is not the normal kind of a Christmas poem that I would have anticipated. It's kind of special. Do me a favor. Why don't you give us a few words on your poem? What made you write it this way, et cetera?
I just decided to go because I was just feeling from the heart. I didn't get a chance to go down and see my parents for Christmas in Mississippi, and just kind of previous relationships didn't work out, and so it just kind of you know, happened this way. Christmas this year happened this way, and I'm instead of bumming out about it, I decided to try and be kind of optimistic about it, you know, instead of taking it so hard. So.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry the year wasn't better for you. I do like that line, heartache squeezing like a salesman's handshake. I assume that would work well for a politician as well. And then the fact that you offer your soul, the optimism of a new deal, I thought was very clever. But yeah, I saw what you did in the fourth line, Jingle Bell Rock being cast to speakers like ancient stunning, the play of words between rock and stoning. It does make the music, though, sound a little clattering, so to speak. But, yeah, I really appreciated this. This is different, which I liked. Great piece. And Pam, could you comment, please?
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful piece. And it is difficult when you already have a reason to be sad when the holidays come around, especially, you know, as you mentioned, you know, when you're missing family, you're missing old friends. And, you know, it's loneliness is a difficult thing to deal with. But, you know, having that attitude of hope, having to find, you know, finding yourself hoping for that strength to make it to next year and to make next year a better one, because people aren't going to do it for you. You have to make it a better year with your attitude. And I think that comes through in this rite. It was a strong rite and absolutely very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And Jean, please. Off mute, Jean.
Sorry, I had a visitor, so I was trying not to have my whole conversation on air. Dex, I appreciate the honesty. But sometimes it just doesn't work out the way we want it to. And really all you can do is make the best of it and say, well, I'll get through this and next year is going to be better. You start to set your own roots and your own traditions. And you kind of have to start somewhere. And sadly, sometimes it's just kind of cast upon us, you know. And in the same time,
yeah,
it kind of makes you respect and appreciate what you're used to and what you really do appreciate, or not appreciate, what you do experience every year. You know, the old tradition. When it doesn't happen in that or that way, you think back on it and you say, wow, you know, I really miss this. I really miss that. And it does give you a sense of what you want to carry forward. So
I think you're all as an adult bummed out about a fake guy and a child, you know, it's really a kid's tradition, but I don't know how so much it means so much, you know, it means so much to us as an adult. I guess that was kind of what the gist of it, but thank you, everybody. I appreciate that.
I think that kids carry that wonder with them into adulthood. I think that, and I think that's why I say I love Santa so much, because, you know, as we grow up, you know, we experience that year after year after year for so many years. And, you know, you remember the love and the fun and the wonder of Christmas. And I think that's why we carry it forward, and that's why it's so important to us, you know, in some way or another. I'm not saying it's, you know, all encompassing, but I think that has a lot to do with it. And it's a wonderful thing. When you lose that, that's just a little bit of innocence that, you know, you keep and you kind of tuck away. And, you know, when you have kids of your own, you draw from that, you know, you want to make it as wonderful for them. Anyway, stop talking.
Well, thank you,
cheering up.
Appreciate it, Jean. Thank you.
I love Santa. Santa's my buddy. I ran into him in a bar one time. I swear to God I did. I did. No joke.
It wasn't Laurent? He just said that he...
No, it was, well, you know, he had a lot of similarities to Laurent, but nope. We were drinking buddies for a while. It was pretty good. It made me laugh. Okay. Somebody say, what are you doing? I said, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to the bar and sit in Santa Claus. And they like look at me. I'm like, anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm the rant. It's on you, hon.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Okay.
This is for Dad. T. Perry, 898. Seems frivolity and glitter shall not feed my appetite. In a coverture of sadness, I shall beg the silent night. Give of happy joy to others, the disheveled, lost and meek. I shall ask of but one present that is special and unique. Promise me no sparkling gadget. I am wrapped in tears of grief. Seems beneath each sunny smile, sadness whispers underneath. Help the people edged in poverty and shower them with love. Let them gaze upon your comet as it flashes high above. Me, I'd love to say my last goodbye to someone I shall miss. A cuddle soft and gentle, and a final loving kiss for my father, who is now at peace and sparkles high above. He who blessed me with such happiness and tendered me with love. And poem. Wow. I got three. Dexter, please.
Yeah, this is a very heartfelt, right? Very touching. But it really kind of sheds light on a larger kind of more social issue of, you know, people that, you know, sometimes we do overdo it on Christmas, and you know, and some people shower their kids in gifts when in the reality that there is people out there that have nothing, you know, and it's this kind of behavior that is really sad, and it's very just opposite of what the Christmas spirit really is truly about in this country, when there's people out there with nothing and there's other people that have so much. So I just think that this was a perfect tribute to his dad. And obviously his dad taught him a good deal of you know, humbleness and just taking what you need. So very good. Well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And Pam, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful, heartfelt write. It's great to have two from T. Perry. But one from last year and one from this year. So I do feel sorry for his loss, and you know, he speaks of and writes about grief in such a heartfelt and beautiful way. And you know, I like that he asks for help for people who are suffering in poverty and brings awareness, but also acknowledges that his own grief, his own need to hug his father one last time. And, you know, it just, there's a certain kind of gentleness, especially in the lines where he says, "For my father who is now at peace and sparkles high above." A wonderful write and very well done.
It was an outstanding piece. Jean, please.
Yes, yes. This is another wonderful piece by T. Perry. I believe this was his entry into this year's contest. Yes, it was. And I felt that, you know, he has such a way of expressing his grief. And, you know, I'm pretty sure his father was mentioned in the last poem. And I thought that he just did a wonderful job dedicating this piece to his father alone. And you know, he had the help the people edged in poverty and shower them with love, let them gaze upon your comfort as it flashes high above. You know, I think that it was just a well-expressed piece. I mean, you know, he didn't just think of himself and his grief. He was thinking about others as well as he came through this. And I thought that he just did a great job with that. And, you know, it was a wonderful read. So thank you, T. Perry, as always, for sharing with us. You know, wonderful, right? And thank you so much. Okay, let me see. I didn't know what I was doing. That was not what I was doing. Pam, I think I was supposed to come back to you, wasn't I?
Yep.
Stacy, I'm losing my mind.
Have you checked the lost and found?
The only thing there is my mind. what the hell do I want that thing for? Okay, Pam, this one is for you, honey. Laura's being a wise ass.
All right. This is Gift of Prayer for All Children in the World by Stories Untold. And it goes like this. Many running and blessed today, yet I see those left behind, I pray. As the world in such turmoil, the child understands not what the excitement truly is, for they were never taught. The glistening of the lights and toys and store windows they see, and the children left behind know they're not for me. Such a world in a bustle, who leaves the children behind while they rush from store to store for themselves by. Where are the secret Santas to leave a gift for the children alone? Where are the secret Santas for the children forgotten in their homes? Where are the secret Santas to spread love and joy? For the world through non-belief has forgotten ever so many girls and boys. In a world who leaves faith behind but makes Christmas a spendthrift day, has missed the true meaning of Christmas and refuses their children today. How and why Christmas is the birth of Jesus, Christ's celebration of love, and the child taught today of only gifts through time is never enough. Love for the children should be year-round, knowing love and guidance daily deployed give a joyous sound. To see the sparkle in your children's eye, a gift that should grow, not just a one-day package, then the child once again left all alone. If we believed all believed love would be year-round in every home, no child left behind and embrace and love forever sown. How only through the children proper teachings can love be found and peace for all come back around. End poem.
Great read, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great read. You know, if you're missing something but you don't know what it is you're missing, that's one thing. But if you're missing something that everyone around you seems to be experiencing, that seems to be anticipating, and you're not part of it, that's cruel. And it's very sad. I remember as a youth, what I liked best about Christmas, among other things, was the fact that Christmas seemed to be hitting the entire world at the same place. The stores began going Christmas, the radio stations, the television, the festivities, the decorations being put up. The whole world was joining in that. And to be on the outside of that, not being able to experience it because of your position in life, is to me very cruel. And those third and fourth stanzas really hit the mark. You know, where are the secret Santas to leave a gift for the children forgotten to spread love and joy? And it continues on to speak about Christmas Day being a spendthrift day. And that's only part of it, of course. The celebration of Jesus is the true spirit. But Santa extends that spirit, the gift of giving, the gift of love. Powerful, powerful piece. I really like this. Now, I know you just read it, Pam, but if you could comment, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was a wonderful rite in the spirit of Christmas. And I like that she touches on the subject of no child left behind, of remembering that every child is important and every child's needs should be met. And one of those needs is to be loved. You know, just absolutely a wonderful, heartfelt rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pat. And Dexter, please.
Yeah, this reminded me of the story that my mom told me when she said I was 4 years old, and she said we're like five. She said we're gonna go volunteer to help the less fortunate kids. And she said that she didn't know how to answer it because I asked her, well, why doesn't Santa go to the poor kids? You know, and she didn't know how to quite answer that. But it was like, I think that this captures a bigger kind of issue right now in society with the kids, and that's this kind of crippling and paralysis of just the child imagination, you know, to be able to look at the world with this kind of dreams and this kind of hope and this kind of bewilderment and all around, to have that kind of joy is a more crippling of a symptom, I think, than most people are letting be known. But anyway, I thought this was a great rite.
Thank you, Dexter. And Jean, please.
You know, I thought this was a wonderful rite, and Pat is great at she's strong in her religious beliefs. And I think that she penned this very well and stated, you know, kind of what really needed to be stated. I mean, you know, we all have to stop and think about those children that are passed over and missed. And, you know, where are the secret chances? I mean, there should be somewhat of a change in the way things happen, you know, to some extent. And, you know, are we ever going to be perfect? No, you know, but you know, maybe things just need to be fine-tuned a little bit more. You know, it's sad to think of a child being missed at Christmas, and we all know what happened every year. And that's hard. That's hard. So, I mean, Pat, on that note, I think you did an excellent job with this. I thought it was well-penned, very well expressed. And, yeah, you did a great job. So thanks for sharing with us, for sure. Now, Dex, I have one for you, if you do not mind.
Okay, sounds good. This is Through the Through the Blinking Lights by Joseph Moon. Dan Fogelberg on the old radio. Thoughts turned to Christmases long ago. We talk to tango and go to a show. This eve I want the world to know I still love my sweetheart so. That from she I cannot go, although the abode above, for auld lang sin, true love, where blinking lights bring forgetfulness, I'll drink from a cup of loneliness to times bygone, my love, end poem.
Oh, great read, Dex. And good Lord, Joseph writes such beautiful things. I can see this being very quietly sung to the strains of a guitar being finger-picked or gently strummed. I really can. I would love to see this put to music. This is almost like a Christmas card. I mean, it's too well written to be a Christmas card, but it's got great length. And it's really, really beautiful. Boy, that one line, although the abode above, really hit me, because I didn't see it coming. But I'll drink from the cup of loneliness, the times by God, my love. That is so bitterly sweet. It's really a special piece. Could you please comment, even though you just read it, Dexter?
I thought that that was a perfect comment talking about almost, it is almost musical. And you know, to me, it almost, you know, once you said that, it triggered to me almost a church choir or something. You could almost see it being a part of almost like a play or something happening. His ability to, his wording is just perfect as far as capturing, you know, because so many of these Christmas tales and these Christmas songs are from, you know, obviously an older generation, an older era. And so for him to so fluently be able to pen that just captures it stylistically perfect. So well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And Pam, your comment, please.
This is a lovely brevity, a wonderful emotive phrasing. I like that it talks, he writes about loneliness and memories and those bygone days of a love that once was. And so just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, please.
Well, you know, I think that Joseph hit all the right notes on this because he starts out speaking with Dan Fogelberg, and down in here it says, he talks about Auld Lang Syne. And, you know, it truly spoke to the song by Dan Fogelberg, the same Auld Lang Syne. It had that same kind of quality going on. And I think that that was his intent when he wrote it, to use that song as inspiration and put that, and I think he did a fabulous job with that. And, Laurent, I dropped that song into your Facebook so that way you could check it out, because I think that's what I was hearing when it was being read. And it is lyrical, and it is soft and sweet. So I think that really summed it up beautifully. So great work, Joseph, and thanks for sharing that with us. All around, wonderful. Pam, I have one for you.
Yes, all right. Dear Santa, by Isabella G., and it goes like this. Dear Santa, I don't want much this year. The things that I want are hard to get, hard to find, and hard to make. I want someone to love me for me, someone I won't have to chase after. Instead, they'll chase me. I want a new heart put in my chest, one that doesn't hurt to beat. No stitches required for it to function. I want a new body than the one I'm in, something with less scars and bruises, one that even I will love. If you can get me these things, oh, how life would be complete. Something worth living another year for. Sincerely, a broken girl who goes by Isabella. End poem.
Wonderful read, Ben. Well, I tell you what, when you feel broken, the only thing that you can think of is to be returned to a complete form. That's a deeply emotional, a deeply deep mental anguish. And it's really, in order to continue, we have to be repaired somehow. Boy, does this really bring that way of thinking to life. I want a new heart in my chest, one that doesn't hurt to beat. No stitches required for it to function. That's hard. That heart surgery, oof, I wouldn't want to be there. All right, let's start with Pam, please. Could you comment, Pam?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was just a powerful and emotive write on when a person feels broken, feels unloved and unaccepted for who they are. And I think it's made even more poignant by the fact that she signs it, sincerely, a broken girl. Just one of those writes that really, it hits hard. And it's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dexter, please.
You know, this just, in a way, reminded me almost of the Eartha Kitt song, you know, Santa Baby, you know, how she, in a comic way, asks for things that are just, you know, all I want is a yacht, and things that are just out of, that are almost comically out of reach. This, in a way, is just in such a sad, or just a sad, painful asking of things that, in a way, are in the same level of kind of out of reach. And so this just, like I said, this just hit home, and it was a very, very, like Pam said, emotive, right? Very well done.
That was a nice observation, Dexter. Thank you. And Jean, please.
I really thought this was nicely done. It was sad and well expressed, and I thought it was just a well-written piece. And I want to thank you, Isabella, for sharing it with us. And I very much enjoyed the write itself. I thought that she did a great job. So, yes, yes. Now, 47 more clicks, and I should be back to where I was. I don't know how I get lost all the time, but I sure do. Okay, Laurent, this one I have for you once again.
Okay. This is called For All Mankind by Liquid Mind Forever. Dear Santa, make of us a garden of white roses, undamaged petals, each velvet to touch. Grant our world crystal clear introspection, fragrant blossoms, unlearned of old poses. Ignite the Holy Spirit's light within, conjoined in journey as Olympians, lighting each soul as bright torches to burn. Turn to grace and mercy, masters again. Infill love's voice, spark love's wisdom and truth. Soothe with serenity's balm all who ache. Awake our hearts, move our souls, lead our dance. Perchance, breathe the freshness of childlike youth. Grant peace and forgiveness to all humanity. Untie fear knots. Endear all with clarity. End poem.
Beautiful read, Laurent. Beautiful read.
All right, Dexter, what do you think?
Yeah, this is, once again, somebody with a strong belief in just the Christmas spirit and what it can do. But I think that this is just kind of directed at almost like a prayer, just because of the craziness that is surrounding everything, and a hope that people can somewhat feel a little better after this holiday season than what we have in the last stretch. So very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And Pam?
Pam said she'd be right back.
Okay. The writing in this is very, very good. And certain of these lines really tug at me. And the third stanza, infill love's voice, spark love's wisdom and truth, soothe with serenity's balm all who ache. I thought that was beautiful, as is the entire piece. Well done, Liquid Mind. And it's not just Christmas, I think, that she's speaking about. She's singing about the universal peace that humanity should enjoy at all times. The phrase "fear nots," which I kind of fumbled, is also very, very good, because fear does cause a knot in our bellies, ties us up, makes it hard for us to think. Definitely does not give us what she calls in the first stanza, crystal clear introspection. Well done, Liquid Mind. program. And Jean, your comments.
Well, where do I start? The intro to this piece really, well, it spoke to me in a way I can't explain to anyone else. But I thought that it was incredible to start right there. Make of us a garden of white roses, undamaged petals, each velvet to touch. Oh, wonderful, just the first two lines. And then I was going to say, oh, well, let me grab a stanza. And I looked and I went, okay, ignite the Holy Spirit's light within. Conjoined in journey as Olympians. I went, okay. And then I went, and Phil Love's voice. I'm like, there's just no way to tear this into pieces and say, oh, well, this is great. They were all incredible. And I thought it was so well done. I really loved it all the way through and thought it was just a wonderful example of, you know, what kind of what I look for in the Dear Santa rites. And every year there's people who just nail it. And there's so many good ones, and it's really hard. But I really think that Deborah aced this one this year. And not to make less of anyone else, everyone's pieces were wonderful. But this one is just, very well done. So thank you for sharing with us, Deborah, and allowing us to read it tonight. I have to say I really did like this one a lot, so... Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll be quiet now. Laurent, are you on mute for a reason or what? Jackson,
well,
reason
we're done commenting. We're done commenting.
Okay, well,
time to move.
Yeah, I got lost. It's quiet. Very quiet. Just wondering. Okay.
Am I alone?
Well, Pam, are you back?
I am, yes.
Oh, awesome sauce, because I'm going to ask you to read Lori West's piece so I can read mine next. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Dear Santa by Lori West, and it goes like this. I really think the one gift I would like on Christmas Day is to see all three of my children, even though they have all grown up and are doing different things as a mother who carries them for 9 months, not to see them is hard, especially around holidays. That is my Christmas wish. Children are the one thing that can't buy, so please, Santa, pray with me. End poem.
Great read there.
Nice read.
I guess this is almost a universal wish from most parents whose children sometimes fly to the four winds and live thousands of miles away. You know, opportunity, jobs, family dynamics, mm-hmm. They all take their toll at some point or another. So when Christmas comes around, we'd like to see them happy for that one day. And this certainly espouses that. Well done, Lori. Mm-hmm. And Pam, could you comment, please?
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity on the desire to see and to have a closeness and a connection with your children. A wonderful rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dexter, your comment?
I like the fluid style that it was written in. It almost was written in, you know, how that missing someone's thought just kind of comes in your mind and then disappears. It's almost like it captured those words that you kind of have, the conversation you have with yourself quick in your mind about that person, and then it's gone, you know. But I thought it was very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And Jean.
You know, I really thought this was a great piece by Lori. I loved, I actually loved her last line, play with me, Santa, or Santa, play with me. I closed the piece to run over and look at something else. Santa, pray with me. Because, you know, sometimes that's what it comes down to. You have to kind of, the real truth of it is you need to pray and you need to find a way inside of you to make it happen or to come to terms with what doesn't. I just thought it was really well done and well said. And I hope that your Christmas wish comes true, Rose. I do. If not on Christmas Day, definitely, you know, over the course of the next, you know, week or so. So, God bless you, honey. And, you know, Alan, too, we're here. Come visit with us. Never be alone, that's for sure. Someone will be here. And thank you so much for that. Now, yeah. He did put my stuff
in. Dive right in, dear.
Yeah. Well, I put two on the board. I'm gonna grab my moldy old one. I kind of kicked all this off. And I'm really sick of hearing it by now, but I'm gonna read it anyway. And this is called Dear Santa. Imagine that. Hello there, dear Santa. It's been quite a while. I've grown so much taller. Now I'm still small. It's been long since I've written, so long since we've met. I've missed you, dear Santa. You're hard to forget. I've since gotten married with children my own. They also do love you, now that you two are gone. My son, my family, his own. In the blink of an eye, this child, too, will be alone. I'm not asking for myself, but for all of mankind. It's help, dear Santa, my request, peace of mind. I've spoken to God. But free will is the one, shaking my head as the damage is done. The season of giving is here once again. My request, it seems simple, peace to all men. I know you can do it, if it can ever be done. The spirit of giving and love, you're the one. I ask you, dear Santa, for peace here on earth. Please stuff all the stockings with kindness and love. I thank you, dear Santa, for taking the time. Read this request as the clock gently turns. I know you are busy. You have much left to do. But I just want to say, I will always love you. And God.
Oh, Jean, that was great. It's a great little poem, and I love the image. The first time I saw it, I thought you were going to do a humorous piece on a squirrel growing up. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. And, you know, this contains in it really your philosophy. I'll not ask for myself, but for all of mankind. Please help me, dear Santa, my request, peace of mind. And you said many times that you consider Santa the essence of the spirit of giving. And I can see that in the stanza, I know you can do it if it can ever be done. The spirit of giving and love, you're the one. I like this a great deal. Boy, what was it, like 3 years ago that I first read this? Just excellent piece.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right.
Yeah,
let's start with Pam, please.
One thing.
As always, wonderful rhyme and flow. I like that this reminds us that the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Santa, is all about love and giving and, you know, growing as a person. I like that there's a sense of faith and hope within these lines. And I really like, I ask you, dear Santa, for peace here on earth. Please stuff all the stockings with kindness and mirth. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, my friend.
You know, what a healthy way of coping with what no longer is, you know. That's what you kind of come to grips with in this poem is, you know, the fact is that those moments that you love or that brought you close to, you know, maybe Santa are no longer there, you know. But that doesn't mean that it should just all be a bummer. The coping mechanism, I guess, that you use in here is that you would wish that gift upon to everybody else, that feeling and that giving and that spirit. So I thought that this was very well done, Gene, and perfect right for tonight.
Thank you, Tex. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tex. And Jean Marie, what did you think of Gene's poem?
Well, I like Gene's poem. You know, You can tell that she really loves Santa. She has a lot of faith.
Did I miss Pam? I'm sorry. Did I miss Pam?
Pam.
No, I commented.
That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure.
No, I just, I don't know. You know, that's an old poem. But, you know, when I wrote it, I went, and I came over to he, and I went to do a contest, and I'm like, that would be a great Christmas contest. Because people have the opportunity to, you know, kind of express themselves in a specific way. But, yeah, it's one of my favorites. I thought it was good. You know, I just thought it captured Santa and the thoughts behind him. But what do I know? It's crazy. Let's see. We got 5 minutes. Faziana is coming up as part sinner, part saint. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, and I hope everyone has a great day tomorrow. anyone who wants, they can come and hang out in L&P. Somebody will be around to say hello and how are you and Merry Christmas and, you know, give you a cup of cocoa or a cookie or, you know, something. You know, we always get something crazy going on if we have the crowd. So, just anyone who wants to stop and visit with us, we'll be happy to have them. Thank you, Dexter. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Thomas. And Laurent, as always, thank you for hosting with me. You're worth your weight in gold. Yeah, just hope everyone's here tomorrow night at 10 o'clock with our Christmas Day show. And anyone who wants to put a piece on the board, welcome to do so. I did not run a contest. It's more Christmas open poetry. And, yeah, we'll be glad to see you, to have you, to visit with you, and to read you tomorrow night. So, and feel free. And, yeah, so 10 to 12. I hope you have a good day. Y'all take care of yourself. And thank you so much. Now, we have 3 minutes left. And Pam, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Oh, you almost missed me there, Jean. I thought I'll hold out because she says she asked me. But then, you know what? It seems like she's at the end of her speech, so I was like 2 seconds away from pushing that hang-up button.
Pam, I can't tell you how many times I have said, and Pam, what's coming? And I went, oh, she left. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened. You are just gone. And I'm like, well, I have no idea.
I know,
so.
I know. Yep. But you caught
that's
me this time, laughing. And then I'll mention that Rex's show, Rhythm and Rhyme on Sunday, is carryovers from his Christmas contest that he had last week. Then as far as contests I have running, for the next Art of Seduction, I have a contest running with the theme of winter fantasy. I have other ones running, but those are for later shows, so that's just the one I'll focus on mentioning.
Absolutely. That's awesome, and I appreciate you hanging in there so you could tell me. Yeah, I mean, I just stood here and go, I don't know. But, yeah, so that's wonderful, and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow night. I think we talked about it, but I'm not sure. I don't know who's going to see me, but we got poems. Okay. And I want to, once again, I just want to thank you. And thank you all for, you know, hanging out with us, hanging with us, sharing with us, sharing your poetry, all that good stuff. So, yes, take care. Have a great night. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. And enjoy. Don't, no drinking and driving. Nobody.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.